So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 11, Calculation of Time from the Atom, text number 33. All relation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thus the process of the exhaustion of the duration of life exists for every one of the living beings, including Lord Brahma. One's life endures only for 100 years in terms of the times in the different planets. Purport. Every living being lives for 100 years in terms of the times in different planets for different entities. These 100 years of life are not equal in every case. The longest duration of 100 years belongs to Brahma. But although the life of Brahma is very long, it expires in the course of time. Brahma is also afraid of his death, and thus he performs devotional service to the Lord just to release himself from the clutches of illusory energy. Animals, of course, have no sense of responsibility. But even humans who have developed a sense of responsibility while away their valuable time without engaging in devotional service of the Lord, they live merrily, unafraid of impending death. This is the madness of human society. The madman has no responsibility in life. Similarly, a human being who does not develop a sense of responsibility before he dies is no better than a madman who tries to enjoy material life very happily without concern for the future. It is necessary that every human being be responsible in preparing himself for the next life, even if he has a duration of life like that of Lord Brahma, the greatest of all living creatures within the universe.
Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakambitamuscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Svamniti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadishatarine.
Like that old song, Row, Row, Row Your Boat. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. That's exactly what Prabhupada's talking about, you see. You know, they have that song in Australia also? Yeah, it's a big campfire song when I was kids growing up in the U.S. So, just, you see, life is just a dream. You see, there's nothing really serious about it, it's just a dream. Just merrily, 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 merrily. Enjoy your senses, have a good time, whoop it up, have a big party, you know. Don't worry about the future. That's material consciousness. But it's asinine. It's stupid, because there is something out there, isn't it? We do have an identity beyond the body. There's so many proofs of that, there's so many evidences of that. One evidence is your body is changing. Every minute your body is actually a different body. It's not the same bag of chemicals it was 5 minutes ago. But yet your consciousness is the same. You see? You have the same sense of identity, your personality, even though there's a constant flux of the chemicals that constitute your body. I like to give the example of the Mississippi River. It's the biggest river in the U.S. So, what is the Mississippi River? Today we're calling this Mississippi River. All these molecules flowing. Oh, here's the Mississippi River. Yesterday, those water molecules that are floating by, they were the Ohio River, you see, which feeds into the Mississippi River. And tomorrow they'll be the Gulf of Mexico. Is it? So in the same way, your body is like a riverbed through which all these molecules are flowing. Is it? We call it the Mississippi. The same exact water that was yesterday, the Ohio, is today the Mississippi. Tomorrow is the Gulf of Mexico. So here we are sitting in this room, breathing, inhaling and exhaling. That means part of what you thought was you is now part of me, you see. You're exhaling, I'm inhaling, and this way we're switching bodies with each other at every minute, just by being around each other, by inhaling and exhaling. So, who are you really? You know, is that body you? It doesn't really make sense. The body could be you. So one who's a little sober, who considers these points with astute deliberation, can understand I'm not this body. Therefore, what am I? I have some identity transcendental to this matter. So when the body dies, I do not die. The self has continued to exist through all the changes of the body. At every step, the body is changing, but the self remains the same. So, is it logical that at death the thing would be finished? Is it? Just like that law of motion. That which is in motion tends to stay in motion. So your body is moving through all these, yourself rather, is moving through all these changes of body. From boyhood to youth to old age, you see. Dehi nosmin yata dehi kumaram jovaram jara tatate hantara praptir diris tratadam huyati. The soul is remaining the same through all the changes of body. There's a momentum going on there. So why at death everything would change, you see. That which is in motion tends to stay in motion. So the Atma is moving through all these bodies. Why would it all of a sudden stop? There's a momentum going there, you see. Why at death it would break, you see. The same momentum that you had from boyhood to youth to old age, that same momentum carries you to your next body. So a cerebral person, an intelligent man or woman, they will analyze these things. They will understand that I have something more to my existence. It's just this this external body. We had a talk last night at the Urban Yoga Center, the journey to the inner self. So this is where we have to go. If we really want to be happy, if we really want to be fulfilled, if we really want to taste the true happiness of our existence, we have to make that journey to the inner self. We have to free ourselves from a misidentification with these external trappings that undergo birth, death, old age, and disease. Do you want to get old? Do you want to get sick? Do you want to die? No, you don't. Why not? If you were that body, you wouldn't mind. The proof that we don't want to get sick, we don't want to get old, and we don't want to die proves that we're not the body. Is it? It's natural for the body to get sick, old, and die. So why we don't like that which is natural? Is it natural not to like that which is natural? No, it's unnatural. So therefore, it's not natural. Your natural self is not the body. Understand? Your natural self is the spiritual being who is temporarily sitting within the body. So when you come to this realization, this understanding, this clear comprehension of who you actually are, there's really nothing else to do except to try to perfect it. You see? That's called self-realization. To perfect that consciousness of who you actually are. It's a science. It's the ultimate science. Rajavidya, Krishna says. This is the ultimate science. Rajavidya. It's also Rajaguhyam. Why does Krishna say it's the most secret of all secrets? Because even though the reality is staring us in the face at every minute, that I want to live forever, but the body is dying, still people don't get the understanding that there's something different than the body. 99.99% of the population, they identify with their body. Even the Christians who talk about immortality, they have something called the rapture, when all the dead bodies come out of the graves. You go and you're decrepit body out of the casket back to the kingdom of God. You see, they don't understand. Even they have some idea of God and the soul. They think the body, they still think in terms of this temporary body. So one has to be fortunate actually to have this understanding. If you have this understanding that you're not the body, you're an eternal spiritual being, consider yourself to be one of the most fortunate people in the entire existence. Now capitalize on your good fortune. Don't abuse it. If you have a valuable inheritance, don't spoil it. You've gotten the greatest benediction. Now, what will you do with this knowledge? What will you do with it? Will you serve the illusory body as the number one goal of your life? Or will you engage Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam? Will you engage your senses in the service of the master of the senses, Krishna? You're being tested. Each one of us is being tested. You understand? We're being tested. Krishna is seeing. What does this one want? What is his desire? Does he desire my devotional service or does he desire sense gratification? Krishna will reciprocate. Ye yata mang prapadyante tamastataiva bhajamyaha. If you want sense gratification, Krishna will give you one body after another body after another body after another body. Doesn't matter, initiated, not initiated. Initiation is not carte blanche. You can do whatever you want. Now I'm initiated. It's like Christianity. I accepted Jesus, now I can do whatever I want because I'm saved. Don't take initiation like Christianity. I can do any damn thing I want now because I'm saved. No. As I pointed out the other day, there's the tripod, you see. You take one, there's three legs holding this microphone very solidly. You take out one leg, it's going to fall over. So, the first three principles of how to engage in devotional service mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 6, how to discharge devotional service. The first thing is you take shelter with a bona fide spiritual master. The second step is you get initiated with a bona fide spiritual master. And the third step is you obey this bona fide spiritual master. You take out that third leg, you don't obey your spiritual master, you are nowhere. But if you obey the spiritual master, you're solid. You're solidly fixed. You're going home. You're getting out of this nasty place. Not fit for a gentleman's living. Srila Bhakti Sananda Sarasvati Thakura explained. So it's up to you what you want. You want to get out of this place and you want to go back to Krishna's abode, regain your original identity in his transcendental pastimes, in any one of five primary rasas. Would you like to be there? With Krishna, with Radharani, the gopis, the cowherd boys, there's also the Gauralila section of the spiritual world. To be with Lord, see Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, join this, in the kirtan with Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, directly sing and dance with them. Would you like to do that? Well, you can do that. You just have to take this process seriously. Very seriously. It's your only business. If you take it as a sideline, you're going to be sidelined. Okay? You take this as a sideline, you are sidelining yourself. Don't take this as a sideline. This is the purpose of your life. That's it. That's it. Finished. Your purpose of your life is to reestablish your lost loving relationship with Krishna. You have no other purpose. Focus on this. Stay fixed in this understanding. And do the needful. So let's see, there's some questions. Pass them to the censorship board. She's weeding out. Give me the cream of the crop here. Okay. My parents are not ready to chant rounds, even though I tried a lot. Can we do anything for them, like chanting extra rounds or prayers so that they make... No. You can't chant rounds for somebody else. You know, you're not chanting around, so I'll chant some rounds so you get a minute. No. If they want it, you can't chant some rounds with somebody else. They have to chant the rounds if they want to become a devotee of Krishna. You can't make somebody a devotee by chanting extra rounds for them. However, if you become a pure devotee and go back to Godhead, they will be delivered automatically. So just focus on your own devotional service. Whatever preaching you can do, it's very good. Prabhupada is very much... very much like this idea of cultivating the parents. In fact, one year they made a GBC resolution that every devotee, I don't know if devotees follow this anymore, but every devotee should get a Back to Godhead subscription for their parents, and Prabhupada liked that very much. Every devotee should get a Back to Godhead magazine, so you should cultivate your parents. Prabhupada wants you to cultivate your parents. But chanting extra rounds for them, it doesn't make any sense. Why don't you chant extra rounds for yourself? That's more intelligent. Because the more qualified you become, automatically they will get the benefit of your association. How do we strengthen our mind to follow the processes of bhakti properly? Especially austerities like waking up early, chanting attentively, etc. Waking up early is simple. You go to bed as early as you can, and you set as many alarms as you need to pull yourself out of the mode of ignorance. As I mentioned the other day, on the smartphone, you can... I know on my iPhone, I can put, 2:30. This is what I do. Last night I said 2:30, 2:31, 2:32, 2:33, and 2:34, just in case. But actually, I got up at 2:30 and turned off all the other alarms. But just in case I was completely tamagunied out. You know, I set four or five alarms. And poof, just keep going off, you see. This is an emergency, this is a precaution. Better safe than sorry, you see. So, waking up early is a matter of your desire and setting those alarms if you need them. Chanting attentively. The early morning chanting is easy to chant attentively because there's nothing else to do in the early morning. There's nobody to talk to. There's nothing happening. Everybody in the whole material world is asleep out there. There's nothing to do except to take shelter of Krishna. So this early waking early and chanting rounds in the early morning, this is the ideal time to do it. Okay, can I chant the rounds without taking bath in the morning? Actually, you can. It's not hard. You can chant round before you take bath. There's no, because that itself is a bath. If there's some practical reason, you can do that. There's no prohibition. There's even a pastime like that. The Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya taking prasadam before he took bath. When Lord Chaitanya brought him some prasadam. But you have to take bath before you come to the temple room, you know, for the Mangalarti. That you have to do. You have to bathe before Mangalarti. Is time explained in the Vedic scriptures? Time is mentioned in so many places. This chapter is called Calculation of Time from the Atom. There's so many descriptions of time. Why do we not appreciate Krishna's help? Because we think we are Krishna. That's the problem. We still think that we're the Supreme. We don't need anybody's help. That's our stupidity, our asininity. As-consciousness. Can you kindly share from your realization how we can sustain this Krishna consciousness throughout our life? You have to embrace it as your life and soul. That's it. Like I've been going on now for 44 years, and I'm not going to leave. I'm here. You have to be totally dedicated to your initiation vow, really. Some devotees, they make their vow and they renege on their vow. That means they're Prabhupada, so they're not even a human being. If you're a human being and you make a promise to the spiritual master that I will chant 16 rounds and follow these four regulative principles throughout my entire life, and you break your word, you're not even a human being. You're just an animal. You see? So be a human being. If you're a human being, you will not give up Krishna consciousness because you made the promise at initiation. You see? So just be an honest person. Don't be a cheater. You made the vow, now you stick to it. Otherwise, you're just a low-class cheater. How can I control the urge of speaking on mundane subjects with my friends in the workplace? If you can't talk about Krishna, just don't talk. What can I say? If you can't talk about, you can't talk something that's going to help to elevate their consciousness, then just don't talk. Just become a silent person. What's the point of talking some mundane katha? It's not good for you, it's not good for them. So don't be so stupid to just to be carried away by some mundane talk. What is the importance of foods? I take food that's not offered, what will happen? You're eating sin. You're becoming contaminated. It could be vegetarian food, but you're being contaminated if you eat unoffered food. Yagyashishta shanashanto muchante sarvakil visha bhungjate te pakam papam ye pachan yat makadana. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which has been offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. So I give you a plate of sin. Will you dig in and eat it? Have a nice plate of sin, sir. How about a plate of stool? Would you like that? When you eat unoffered food, you're eating stool. You're drinking urine. If you think it's great, then you're in a hog consciousness. What to do if one has become habituated to breaking the regulated principles? You have to break your habits by replacing them with better habits. Vishaya vinivartante nivaha rashidehina rashavarsham rishopyashva prarang vishvanavartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, you see, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. You got to get a higher taste. And then giving up these nonsense habits is a piece of cake. You just got to get a higher taste. We have to understand there's nothing sweeter than Krishna. It's like many people write me, they can't stop masturbating. It's so gross. Just get a taste for Krishna's name. As I explained last night, when a boy was asking about sex in the spiritual world, I said, they don't have sex in the spiritual world. They're relishing on a much higher level. Is it? The pleasure of Krishna is billions of times greater. The pleasure of vibrating the name of Krishna with love is billions of times more juicy or nectarian than having sex with 10 million virgin girls. Okay? I'd be graphic about it. So give up this stupid idea of running after sense gratification. It's just stupid. It's completely stupid. Come to the platform of higher taste. And then you easily follow the regulative principle. What should we do if we have broken a regulative principle? Please give the answer for an uninitiated devotee and initiated devotee. In either case, you have to just be very repentant. You have to go in front of the deities, go in front of Srila Prabhupada, or if you're initiated or you've taken shelter, you have to pray to your spiritual master. You don't have to write him a letter and tell him about it. It's not necessary. You just have to fall down and pray very intensely with great remorse. My Guru Maharaj, I've greatly disappointed you and let you down. I'm so sorry I've done this. Please, Guru Maharaj, bless me. I will never do such a thing ever again. In this way, you'll be very repentant and pray very intensely. What happens to the spiritual master if a disciple is breaking the regulative principles? He has to suffer reactions. As the planets surround the sun, why can we not surround Krishna in Vaikuntha? Well, actually, we in the spiritual world, everybody does surround Krishna. Everything revolves around Krishna, the spiritual world. He's the center of everything. What is the most direct way to make these souls up who are pretending to be sleeping, as there is often a great ego? You wake yourself up, rascal. If you wake up, then it's easy to wake up others. If you're still sleeping, don't think you can wake up others. You wake yourself up. And then you'll have the potency and the shakti to wake up so many other people. You simply become awakened yourself, and you'll be amazed how you can, the power you get to awaken others. You wake up yourself. When the spiritual master walks in the temple room, we automatically bow down. I read in the next devotion, we should bow down, should not bow down in front of the deities. If the doors are open, kindly please explain the correct etiquette. Actually, the spiritual master is as worshipable as Krishna. So Prabhupada was asked about this one time. This very question was asked to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, that is the dilemma. When you see the spiritual master, you're supposed to immediately bow down. That's the etiquette. But it says you're not supposed to bow down in front of the deities. So it's like damned if you do and damned if you don't. Prabhupada said, that is the dilemma. As far as when Prabhupada is here on the planet, we bowed down to Prabhupada. It didn't matter if the deities were open or closed, because we'd rather be offensive towards the deities than offensive towards Prabhupada. The Prabhupada was more important than the deities for us, so we would bow down. Even though it was a rule like that, we would do it. And Prabhupada never corrected us. So don't bow down in front of the deities. We always bowed down to Prabhupada. He never corrected us. So you can take that and think about it and see what you understand from it. In the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 14, it is explained that one who is situated in the Brahma Jyoti is equal to the Supreme Personality of God in quality. Well, you know what? For another sense, we're all equal to the Lord in quality. We're all qualitatively one with the Lord. And especially one who is in the Brahman Jyoti, he is more in tune with his actual qualitative nature. However, it should be pointed out, he only really has one third of it. There are three qualities of the Supreme. Sat, Chit, Ananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Those who have come to Brahman realization, they have only realized the Sat feature. So in terms of Sat, yes, they are qualitatively one, but they haven't quite realized their qualitatively oneness in terms of Chit and Ananda. To do that, you have to come to Chit, you have to come to Paramatma realization, and to come the full circle to Ananda, you have to come to Bhagavan realization. Theoretically and philosophically, I understand that I'm not this body and I am in a temporary situation. Even though chanting 16 rounds and initiated, practically it is difficult to realize it and live on a day-to-day basis thinking this temporary, especially when there is a material crisis, I get caught up in the situation. Now, wait a minute. You're not properly taking advantage of material crises. You're taking them as stumbling blocks and getting bewildered by them instead of using them as stepping stones to increase your Krishna consciousness. You haven't attained Brahma-Bhuta yet. You're supposed to be Brahma-Bhuta. Self-realized because you've taken this pathway. Brahma-Bhuta is the foundation of the bhakti process. The Brahma-Bhuta realized person takes happiness and distress to be equal. That's a preliminary to bhakti. You got to go, you're not even plugged in the preliminary Brahma-Bhuta consciousness you're supposed to have to practice Krishna consciousness. So you got some work to do on your consciousness. You should be experiencing a crisis as an opportune moment to go deeper into the ocean of bhakti. Vipadashanti tashasvat tatta tatta jagad guru babanam dashanam yashad apana babadarshanam. These are the words of our beloved Siksha Guru, Kunti Mataji, Queen Kunti. She said, let me have more and more. I want one crisis after another crisis after another crisis. Because when a crisis hits, that's when I really take shelter of Krishna. You see? So she's begging, I want more crisis. Give me more crisis, 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 crisis. You see? So try to understand the mood you need to be in to really be fixed in Krishna consciousness. You have to embrace whatever Krishna gives you, happiness or distress, it's all the mercy of Krishna. You have to be equipoised. You have to have this Brahma-Bhuta vision. You're supposed to have it already because you've taken a devotional service. Why you haven't taken the preliminary consciousness of seeing happiness and distress equally? That's preliminary to bhakti. You see? So come back to even your basics. You're weak in your basics. So get back to the basics of seeing happiness and distress as the equal manifestations of the mercy of Krishna. Let's see. Would devotees forget that this is a temporary situation? Things are said and done, which probably will not be said. If I could always remember the temporary situation, can you please give some practical points? How to always remember the temporary... Yeah, I've pretty well done that. Okay. How from the Mahatattva, which is in the pure consciousness at the beginning of the creation, the material ego suddenly springs up? Well, the most important thing is to understand that it's not so important to understand how our material ego sprung up. Not that important. So I gave the example the other day. You've been shot by an arrow, the blood's pouring out, you're losing your energy, and you're going around, who shot this arrow? You're running around, the arrow on your chest, where did this arrow come from? Pull it out. You see. How did I get in, how did this material ego contaminate me? No, get free from it. That's your priority. And then once you get free from it, then it'll be very clear for you how it came. In the Bhagavatam, I read that during deep sleep, we actually enter the Mahatattva, Mahavishnu. I'd like to see that. I don't remember reading that, whether you properly understood. We enter into Mahavishnu when we go to sleep. I'd like to see that reference. That doesn't sound right to me. Okay. How to take shelter of Krishna fully everywhere. Yad kudoshi yad ashnasi yaj dahosi dadasi yad yad tapasya shikanteya tat kadushvam madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. Krishna has answered your question perfectly. How to chant and hear about Krishna as my mind is always going towards the opposite sex? You have to understand, the opposite sex is only attractive because of Krishna's potency. Whatever attractiveness you find in the opposite sex is a mere infinitesimal fragment of a fragment of a fragment of the attractiveness of Krishna. A girl wouldn't be attractive to you unless she had some potency from Krishna. Or a boy would not be attractive to you unless he had some potency from Krishna. So the attractiveness is actually all coming from Krishna. Why are you going after one piece of gold when you can go and get the whole mine? Is it? You're going after a little gold nugget over here, but why, you know, that girl over there, that gold nugget, or that boy over there, that gold, but why not go for the gold mine, Krishna? That's intelligence. Is it? Go for the gold mine. Why are you after some nugget? Don't be so foolish to be carried away by a nugget. And that beautiful boy or that beautiful girl are going to become an old, dried up prune in due course of time anyway. But Krishna will never dry up. Why ISKCON is spending so much money in constructing the Vedic temple? To make you Krishna conscious. That's why. And to make the world Krishna conscious. They say you should feed the poor. Why are you should be feeding the poor? Why are you building spending millions of dollars to build a temple? You should feed the poor. Well, you have to understand what is the best food for the poor to actually solve all their problems. The best food for the poor is Krishna consciousness. Devotees in Australia are buying land and planning to stay in Mayapur. Is it right, the right approach? Well, if a devotee wants to, you know, retire in Mayapur, that's certainly proper, according to our Srila Prabhupada's teachings. These holy dhams are places for vanaprastha. One is ready for vanaprastha life. He's worked for many years, struggling away in the material society, earning a living. He set aside his savings so he can have a nice Krishna conscious retirement in Mayapur or Vrindavan. That's great. That's good intelligence. Huh?
The devotees are planning to buy the group thing.
So buy the what?
Group?
Well, that's cheaper. You go in as a group. Say, that's intelligent. That's intelligent.
For retirement, that is not practical.
For retirement, that is... Anyway, this is...
Yeah, that's
I'm not going to get into all these managerial type of details. I'm just philosophical principles. Retiring in Mayapur Vrindavan is a great idea. So do it in an intelligent way that's practical. That's all. What is the most important thing in Krishna consciousness? Krishna! How do we understand what is an important or priority? To always remember Krishna and never forget him. That is the priority. Sometimes to devotees, relationships are getting the service done when working in a team. Well, when you're working together in a team, you have to do what needs to be done, but also do it in such a way that there's, you know, proper love and respect for the devotees. Is the longest religion Hare Krishna consciousness? Or we could say the longest living? Yes. This is the original. Krishna consciousness is the original dharma of the living entity. And these other religions, they come and go. Islam only started a few centuries back. Christianity is only 2,000 years old. But Krishna consciousness has no beginning point in time. These others are just they're just little blips in history. Judaism, Sikhism, these things are just little blips in history. But Krishna consciousness has been going on since time immemorial with no beginning point in history. Can we stay in Krishna consciousness even though we go to school, we do tutor, etc.? Well, the best thing is ask your parents to homeschool you with a Krishna conscious education. And if they can't do that, then you need to you should be very keen to come and hear the lectures, the temple, and understand this is your real education. Krishna consciousness is your real education. If you understand this education is the real education, and that education is not really the real education. It has some practical value. 1 + 1 = 2. You know, you can learn some things that you can use for practical purposes. But you have to understand that education is not very important. This education is important. That will, if you have that understanding, you can be Krishna conscious, even if you have to go to a public school. What is the time taken to become self-realized? It is pure gold. Whatever time you take to become self-realized is pure gold. Can we get mystic power by chanting 16 rounds? Absolutely. Absolutely. The more you chant, the more you go into the chanting, you actually become endowed with mystic powers. put back. What is the difference between a great yogi and a great devotee? The difference is that the yogis generally become diverted from the path, the upward path of self-realization, and fall into the false trap of thinking that they are the Paramatma. And the devotee, he doesn't fall into any such delusion. He goes back to Godhead. The yogis have difficulty. The yogis and the jnanis are described in the Brahma Samhita. Pantastoko tishata vatsara sampragyam yo vayuratapi manaso munipun gavanam saupyasti yat prapapachin yabachin yatat ve govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. Only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental by betaking themselves to pranayama, or by the jnanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane, extending over thousands of millions of years. So these yogis and jnanis, they will go on for thousands and millions of years and never actually fully realize Krishna. That's the difference. A yogi and a devotee. Is it proper to ask senior devotees to do research work for this verse or that? Or to give this reference? If somebody says, well, you're presenting this concept, but where is that stated in Prabhupada's books? I'm always happy to do that. Because I want my listeners to be absolutely convinced that I'm purely presenting parampara knowledge here. There's no mental speculation. Personally, I'm always happy. If I don't know it on the tip of the tongue, I'll say, send me an email and I'll give you the exact verse right out of the database. I'm always happy to do that because I want you all to be convinced that I'm not a speculator, that I'm a parampara preacher. I personally don't mind doing that at all. How to know when one is ready for second initiation? Well, are you on this level? Shamadamashta Pausha Cham Chantir Arjava Mevicha Gyanamigana Mastakam Brahma Karmas Babavacham. Or are you seriously desiring to develop all those qualities and really focus on it now? Those qualities are described as the qualities of a Brahman by Krishna. Equanimity, sama, dhamma, controlling the senses, tapa, austerity, saucham, cleanliness, arjava, tolerance, honesty. Do you have these qualities or are you really serious about cultivating them now in all of your thoughts, words, and deeds? In either case, you're ready. And ask your authorities if they agree with you. They want to recommend you. How to understand when Guru and Prabhupada appear in our dreams is special mercy. Is there a spiritual significance? Yes. Or is it just the mind or something? No. It's special mercy. Any appearance of Krishna or Prabhupada or Guru in your dreams is a very special blessing. You should feel I've been greatly blessed. Where is it mentioned that Gaura Leela is present in the spiritual world? Look at the cover of the Bhagavatam. You'll see the painting commissioned by Prabhupada shows Gaura Leela and Krishna Leela happening simultaneously in Goloka Vrindavan. There's the evidence right there. I gave you the reference. Look on the cover of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you please give some practical points how to always remember the temporary situation in the material world? How to know that this is temporary? Well, that yogi is a very good example. The Prabhupada gives the story of that yogi who was meditating on the bank of the sacred river, undergoing all the austerities of heat and cold, snow, sleet, whatever was there, mosquitoes, whatever it was, you know. He was tolerating all of it. And the villagers felt, sorry, we should build a nice hut for this yogi. He's undergoing so many penances and austerities here. Why don't we build him a hut so he can be a little more comfortable? So this yogi had a benediction that he would, his lifespan would be, for every hair on his body, he would live for one lifetime of Brahma, which is 311 trillion years. You can imagine 311 trillion times, and he was very hairy also. So 300, how many hairs would be on the hair of the body of a hairy sage times 311 trillion? That was his duration of life. And they said, we'd like to build you a hub. He said, why bother? I'm only here temporarily. So just remember that. That will help you. Why do the parents push the children so much in education from school instead of telling us about Krishna consciousness? Because your parents aren't Krishna conscious. Or they're not Krishna conscious enough. I think you better be like Prahlad and educate your parents. The parents push you for mundane education. They don't push you for Krishna consciousness. Your parents are not, they're not properly situated. I hate to tell you that. But your parents are not properly situated. You better train your parents up. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. I'm telling the truth. If the parent is saying your mundane education is important and Krishna consciousness is not very important, your parents don't have the right understanding. I know my parents didn't have it. My father said, son, why don't you do something useful to society, like getting a job at a hospital? You know. So, you know, you have to be intelligent. If your parents are off the track, you have to understand. I know my dad, he always said, son, your college days are going to be the happiest days of your life. And I went off to college and I was completely depressed. And I went back, it was 300 miles, you know, back to the house from the campus. I went back 300 miles and said, Dad, I'm really depressed. He said, these are the happiest days of my life. He said, son, don't worry about it. It's just a phase you're going through. And I realized this person is not my mentor. He had helped me. He was a sincere man. He was a very gentle, good-hearted man, but he was dumb when it comes to, you know, higher matters. He was stupid, completely dumb. I don't knock him. He did nice things. It has helped facilitate us in our service to help us out financially. He did a lot of good things for me, but in terms of higher knowledge, he was nowhere. But he did. I give him credit. On his deathbed, we went there, and my wife and I chanted for him, and he was really affected by the holy names at the time of death. We chanted. He was like, there was like anxiety in his eyes, but we did the kirtan. He became completely mellowed out, and then he left his body. It was wonderful to see how he left his body with a kirtan. What should be our actions during the Srimad Bhagavatam class to make less noise? Yes, you shouldn't make noise in the Bhagavatam class. To avoid any disturbance, including passing the prasadam flowers, opening and closing the entrance. No, if somebody needs to go come in and out, I have no objection. Although I can tell you, Prabhupada was very strict about any sounds during the Bhagavatam class. Here's how strict he was. This is really something. We were there in the Atlanta temple, and my godbrother Ramana Sukha, he's the cook, he was in the kitchen cutting some fruit, you know, cut, 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 and Prabhupada said, what is that sound? He couldn't cut the fruit, he couldn't even put a knife to the cutting board during the Bhagavatam class in the kitchen. Prabhupada was very strict. No sounds. I mean, that's how strict Prabhupada was. So that's the real standard. So if you go through the door, don't make any noise. You're coming in, make sure that the door... This is for Prabhupada's standard. If you come in the middle of the class, don't let the door click. As you come through, you have to very quietly shut the door. Or if you have to go out for your service or go to work, something like that, make sure you go out quietly. Don't make any noise. That's Prabhupada's standard.
Not to bend the door anytime.
Oh, I'm talking about even a subtle click during the class. But as far as not slamming the door, yeah, the door should never be slammed, ever in any situation. Or what?
Opening and shutting the door, like you know, in the US there is automatic which makes a little noise.
Well, I'm guilty then because in our room upstairs, every time we lock it clicks and we shut it, we lock it, it makes a little click. We have to do that. It's not practical to avoid that. I have to put the key in it?
And no.
I think that's not so practical. I mean, you can't even make any slight click at all when you open and shut a door in any situation. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. Slamming a door is one thing, but I'm saying in the class, the standard is there shouldn't be any sound at all. No sound should be there. That was Prabhupada's standard. Then I'll give a little more background on that. Another example is Prabhupada was sitting in a class of his Guru Maharaj, and some old man, he couldn't understand what Prabhupada was saying. With Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada was saying. So our Abhay Charanday, who was sitting there as a disciple hearing the lecture, then he was trying to explain to this man what Bhakti Siddhanta was saying, and Bhakti Siddhanta stopped the class and chastised Prabhupada for talking in the class. However, in ISKCON now, we have many, when we go to like in Vrindavan, for example, the Russian devotees would be in the back with a translator. So in many places I go all over the world, like in Viga, Latvia, when I give the class, there's a little Russian corner where there's an ongoing translation. They do it softly. So that's okay. Something like that is okay. But to just have some conversation during Bhagavatam class is definitely wrong. Okay. What is the correct mood and actions required to achieve the status of reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita? What you have to do, you have to open it up and look at it. That's the qualification. You got to take the book and open it and look at it, and then you can read it. Prabhupada had his distributing Chaitanya Charitamrita in the airports to karmis. Okay? So, because Prabhupada's purports are perfect. Anybody who wants can open the Chaitanya Charitamrita and read it right now. There's not that you have to be initiated, you have to be a Brahmin, you have to be chanting 16 rounds, you have to be Brahma Bhuta. There's no requirements. You just open the book and read. Let the mercy flow. Working in grotesque jobs. Welcome to Melbourne. I realize these places require the Krishna Bhakti the most. How can I start even a little action to spread Krishna Bhakti there? Well, cookies in the break room. That's one thing. Make the cookies, make some really nice, you know, carob chip cookies with walnuts. Just really super duper, the best recipe you can find. And at least once a week, you know, the break room. There they are, you know, free, take one, you know. Bless them with prasadam. And you can put a Bhagavad Gita on your desk, and just looking at it all day, you'll get energy. And somebody may ask you. They have some extra copies in the drawer. I think there's some rule in Australia, you can't preach in the workplace. When you don't have to preach. Just have the book sitting there. So, you know. Or you can, if you can get away with it, you can wear a tilak, like I got away with it in the U.S. in my job. Wear a tilak to work if you can get away with it. Of course, it may not be practical. It depends on the situation. You do whatever you can to, you know, it may just be prasadam. You do whatever you can. You have to judge according to your situation. How demoniac the atmosphere is. If it's so demoniac, I mean, you might get fired at putting a Gita on your desk. You know, you have to just judge according to your situation. But you should be in the mood of a spiritual revolutionary wherever you are. Always be in the mood. When you're at the grocery, always be in the mood of a spiritual revolutionary, a preacher, you see. Always be in that mood wherever you go. And Krishna, if you're in the mood, then Krishna will reciprocate by giving you opportunities to share his teachings with those who are eager to hear them. Okay, so the question well has run dry, and it's almost 9 o'clock, so if there's nothing further, we'll stop here, and this is my last Bhagavatam class on this visit. So I'm just delighted to see such nice attendance here every morning. I really appreciate it a lot. I really do appreciate it a lot. So many of you have been coming every day to hear the classes. Thank you very much for that. And may Krishna bless all of you that you can be fully happy and satisfied and advancing very nicely on the pathway to pure devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Srimad Sankarshan Das Adhikari ki
jai. Okay, we have Prashadam here now. Everyone come. Prashadam. Children first. All the kids come forward. Any more children come forward.